It's Ross Tucker. The Patriots, big win over the Jets. They're going to ride this all the way to a postseason wild card berth, are they not?
Yeah, actually, it's funny you say that. I actually just took out a second mortgage.
Nice. Very
and
good.
Just bet everything on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So
in 2024 or sometime
yeah,
in the future?
Get it done. I got to say, for having a disappointing season, obviously, this has to be a heck of a week for you guys with the Yankees about to get swept and with the Patriots beating the Jets. Although, I will say, I saw several people online posting that we can't even tank right in reference to the Patriots. Listen, I get that Patriots fans want the highest draft pick possible. I understand that. But they're probably going to win three or four games. And if they're going to win three or four games, isn't that the one you wanted to win? I mean, isn't that the one against the Jets? I mean, it's incredibly embarrassing that the year that the Jets are all in and the Patriots are basically all out in terms of, you know, their personnel decisions with trading Judon and Uche and all that stuff, right? The fact that the Patriots still beat the Jets, like, I'm from Eastern Pennsylvania. I'm not even a little bit a Jets fan, and I'm embarrassed for them.
Do you think the Patriots were embarrassed? You know, do you believe in that idea that their coach calls them soft? So yeah, we're gonna rally and show him, or be resilient and win a game late, or is that just like a nice narrative that fits the situation but might not have truth to it?
I think that different guys probably responded to it differently, and I think some guys probably took it to heart, watched the tape, said he's right, and wanted to do something about it. I think some guys probably thought he's full of it. He can't sell us out like that, and wanted to show him, and they went out and they did something about it. I guess either way, it kind of worked. Like, whether they took it to heart or they wanted to show Mayo he was wrong, or take it, you know, take out their frustration, either way, obviously they played much better and gave themselves a chance to win. All right, right now, let's say there's a million people listening right now.
There is.
I mean, there's at least a million.
What percentage of the people, what's that, 10 million, whatever.
Yeah, at least,
what percentage of them are happy the Patriots won on Sunday, and what percentage are not happy because they want the team to lose?
So glad you asked. We actually polled the audience of between 1 and 10 million people that listen to us every day. And what'd they say, Andy?
71% were happy with the wins, F the Jets. They wanted the win, and they did not want to lose to the Jets, and they don't care about the draft pick. So I can give you a number. It's a 71% of fans were quite happy with the victory.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I question the other 29%.
Oh, wait. I'm in that group. I want the number one pick.
Yeah,
I wanted a loss.
You.
A lot of people
do.
Okay,
explain that to me, because you want to have the second or third pick instead of the fourth or fifth.
Yes.
Because then you have a better chance to get Travis Hunter, basically?
No. I actually want the number one pick so that when somebody falls into whoever the quarterback's going to be, Shedeur Sanders or Nussmeier or whoever's going to end up there, we'll trade, and now I can get three first-round picks. Dream scenario, so just go along with me. Reality doesn't always have to match it. Three first-round picks, then I trade down. I get Will Campbell. I get two other first-round picks to use at Capital, and we are worst to first city, baby.
Okay. I can see that.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
First of all,
you got
a lot of competition.
True.
To get the number one overall pick.
Yeah, those Carolina Panthers stink. The Jets,
I mean,
too.
The Panthers are bad, bro. I mean, they're bad. I thought you guys were bad. The Panthers are real bad.
Yeah.
I think the Panthers, you know what the Panthers are trying to do? They're trying to do a reverse Panthers. You know, gross. They're the one that just gave up all the picks last year to get Bryce Young, and it totally blew up in their face.
Yep.
And now they want to do to somebody else what Chicago did. Although actually they won't even do that. They'll draft a new quarterback, which is really sad.
It is sad, but it is what they're probably going to have to end up doing. Speaking of quarterbacks, Raj, what did you think of the hit that knocked Drake May out of the game? And assuming he doesn't play this week, what do you think this does for his first season? I know he didn't start the year right away, but how do you sort of feel this is going, and what do you think this injury is going to mean about it?
Well, I think it's going very well. I've been super impressed. Anytime you're talking about head injuries, quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, it gets concerning. I would agree that I would like to think and hope that they would err on the side of caution. But I think we talked about this last week. To me, he's been really, I would say, the most positive aspect of the team. Now, other aspects of the team certainly played a lot better in this game, and Jacoby came in and did what he needed to do late to win the game. But I would still be very, very encouraged by May, and I'll be curious to see, you know, how he responds when he does come back, because sometimes for guys, that's the first time. You know, I don't know, was he diagnosed with the concussions in college? I didn't even look that up.
I don't know if he
was. I don't believe so,
no.
I don't believe he has a history, no.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a different deal then, right?
Yep.
Like, if it's your first – it's a different deal either way. If he's had multiple – okay, well, that's a concern. If it's his first, then I'll be curious to see how he comes back from it.
Anthony Richardson did something that I have never seen in my years watching football at any level, and he obviously was benched today, maybe because of it, maybe because he just stinks and can't complete passes. But how stunned were you to see a quarterback, a supposed franchise quarterback, a top 10 pick, tap out of a football game?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't possibly be more stunned. I'm 45 years old. I've never seen it before at any level of football. I can't ever remember seeing a quarterback like tap their helmet and come out. And I like go through stages giggling in my head about what the most ridiculous aspect of it is. Like, so number one, that he scrambles and gets yardage and that he's so out of breath that he thinks he needs to come out of the game. Like, that's number one. Like, how can your conditioning be that bad after Lamar Jackson does that every play?
Mm, yep.
Like, how can your conditioning be that bad? Then number two, the fact that he did it. He came out of the game because he was tired and needed a blow. Like, it's up to the coaches to identify that you just ran around all over the place and give you a safe play there you can catch your breath on the next play, or you can even tell them that rather than tapping it out. My personal favorite is that he thinks there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Right.
And he said after the game, yeah, I was just tired. I just needed to blow. Like, it's amazing. You go layer and layer. And I mean, you're talking about a guy who's putting up – he is putting up my favorite stat lines in the NFL every week. Like, you'll check in late second quarter – he'll be 2 for 14 for 87 yards and a touchdown. And it's like, how is that even possible? Like, how is that possible? It's unbelievable. I love Flacco, and Flacco gives them a better chance to win. And so I understand why the Colts are making the decision they are. But, like, the whole Anthony Richardson experiment was fascinating to me. I was kind of hoping it would continue because that was, like, pure enjoyment for me every week was to see his stat line throughout the game.
All right, we're talking to Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, we know you got to go so quickly. The most disappointing team at the halfway point in the NFL and the most pleasant surprise in the NFL so far at the midway point here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be impossible to name any team as most disappointing other than the Jets. I don't even know how you do that. By far the Jets. I've never seen a team be this all in, make this many moves, and have it blow up in their face the way they have. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, guys, I want everybody to just picture this for a second. They're going to be playing a bunch of November and December games where they're just playing out the string with a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Has this ever happened before where a team had a first and they're just like, I usually do the sixth game for CBS each week, okay? I'm going to be doing like jet skiing. it's unbelievable. So I would say for sure the biggest disappointment is the Jets. Biggest surprise, I mean, I don't know, I told everybody, maybe even you guys before the year, that the Commanders were my surprise team.
Yep.
So maybe they're not my biggest surprise, but they're up there. I would say I definitely was not expecting the Broncos to be 5-3 at this point. I mean, think about that for a second. Nobody wanted Bo Nix other than the Broncos. I mean, the Falcons took Penix. We know about the top three. The Vikings took J.J. McCarthy. He was the sixth quarterback to go, and if the Broncos didn't take him, there's no telling when Bo Nix gets shot. Yet they're 5-3. Are you kidding me? That's probably the biggest surprise.
All right, great. Well, then we'll leave it right there. Ross Tucker, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.